We're going to serve you with allowing you to serve the Lord this morning in giving. Hallelujah. Marcia. This is, if it's not already, will become one of the most joyous parts of your life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and help me, would you? Would you help me? We glorify you, Jesus. Supernatural. Supernatural. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I glorify you. I exalt you. I worship you, Jesus. Well, there's going to be two offerings in one this morning. I was trying to figure out how to do this, but then I know how he just wants me to tell you that they're the needs of the church. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out if it's been out there challenge on you as a family. You don't have to, doesn't have to be much said to know that we've been walking by faith around here for a while. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. So, sometimes it's like you're living. It's not the way it's supposed to be for any of us, like week to week. But the little boy will grow up and is growing up. And some of you that are not even working, I love talking to you because you're as mad about what he's not getting as what you're not getting. Some of you are madder about that part of it. Hallelujah. But we've got something else, so I mentioned that side of it because the church does have needs. But we have another need here. It's a good one, too. We've got a very special person with us. See, I was at a church one time, and it's a good church. And somebody told me, they said, you'll get more if you take up two offerings. You know, take up the first one for the church, and then the second one for the minister. And really, by all natural means, that's about right. But what all that says is this, is that it's really kind of an indictment against the house and against the preacher, because they haven't brought the people to the place where truly you could sit down, and when we say, divide it as he says. See, here's the deal. For you that are giving, I truly believe the ones that he's able to touch your hearts, you're giving all you possibly can on a weekly basis. If you found out later like that there was a real need and you said, oh my God, I didn't know they were about to turn the lights out. My God, if you'd have told me that, if you're willing to give at that point, you're missing the mark. So that's why he said that you shouldn't be giving out of necessity. He loved a cheerful giver. Why? Because you gave because nobody had to present something in front of you so drastic that it pulled something out of you that said, oh, well, I could have. I just didn't know it was that bad. I could have. See, I'd rather have a bunch of people that you could present two or three needs to them and they'd say, okay, Father, this is what I've got to set aside and you'll show me how to divide it up. Rather than me trying to play the manipulator in a certain sense and see if, okay, can I get this out of you? And then can I go another time and get that out of it? I just feel like you're mature enough, you'll give all you can and you'll divide it up like it's supposed to. Is that the right way to think? I don't know. Is that the right way to think? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Isn't He wonderful? Now, This is not need nor necessity, but it is need. You need to see beautiful Melody. Come up here, would you please? She will not be here after this Sunday. Are you coming Wednesday night? Oh, you'll be here Wednesday night. Now, if you're not prepared, and if you came in here and said, you know, I was given a $10,000 offering to the church, give that offering to the church. She'll be here Wednesday night. You can bring the other 10 for her Wednesday night. Hallelujah. See, now we got the mind of Christ. But if you're really not prepared to give, or you've figured out, you already made it out one way or whatever, she will be here Wednesday night. And we can't say enough for somebody that would leave family and America. Listen, I've been to Poland. I've been to Korea. I've been to Guatemala a couple times. This is the greatest nation on planet Earth. My God. The greatest nation on planet Earth. And I could say a lot about this. This lady lives by herself in a three-story house. When she was describing it to me, I thought, I wouldn't stay there. No, I would. It sounded like a big old haunted mansion or something. But it's not haunted because you're in there. But that's the place they've got her at. And she left Mama to go do that? Well, she loves the Lord, doesn't she? Hallelujah. So she'll tell you what she's doing. And I want you to get behind it all you can. Hallelujah. And if you were going to fudge either way, do it on that side. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Well, I don't know if I need to say anything else.
Well, you spoke Wednesday, but you haven't talked to the Sunday morning crowd.
The Sunday morning crowd.
Tell us what you do over there. Okay. So everybody will know.
Well, it's really good to be back. Like Pastor Bronk said, America is wonderful. The freedom that is in America, just knowing that you can make a decision and not get fired over it or looked down upon or kicked or, you know, spoken harshly at or something, you grow up with it, so you don't even realize you have it. But people over there grew up under the communism and the oppression, and you feel it. You fly in, and it's there. But I have my own glory cloud that surrounds me, so.
Hallelujah.
So I'm good. I'm in it. But I do thank you for praying for me and supporting me. And I know you guys talk about me because I hear Bronk every once in a while on the Sunday morning messages. Hallelujah. Or Wednesday night, you know, asking my mom how I'm doing. And I'm doing good. I'm doing good. That's a faith statement, but I am doing really good. I'm doing good. No, it is. What I'm doing over there, finally, we're getting our school started. I originally went over there in 2005. When I went over there, Alyssa said, yes, come back and we'll get a school started. So we're going to open the doors. Well, not officially, but we're going to start something in September of 2009. We're going to open up the doors to our kids in our home. And because right now I only teach the children in our home, and we have it open to our children. But we're going to open it to the community as well, because they're suffering. The children in our orphanage are suffering as much as the children in our community, because the alcoholism and the oppression is in every home. Unless that home goes to a church, which there's not really a church like this over there, they don't know that. And even if they did, they still can't fully experience it, because you have this, you know, a mental block on your mind of who God really can be. Because, you know, you always compare. Like, the best that we can do, humans can do, is compare God to what our greatest efforts can be, because that's what we see. But He is so much more than that. And being in America, you can experience God a little bit more, because you're doing good too, and you have this image of yourself and of your family, and you can equate that to God. But over there, when your image is when your father or your mother comes home and beats you, or doesn't even care about you, doesn't even talk to you, and they just go in their corner and they drink by themselves, then that's what you equate a religion with. And, you know, and atheism is the biggest thing. There's only 2% professing, not even Christian, just 2% professing religious. So that's what our battle is. I mean, when we receive our children, it's emotional healing. So it's Christ-centered the whole way. It has to be Christ-centered because we can't bring in other people and other groups that come in and talk to our children because they're not Christ-centered. And so they don't really know how to help them. So that's why it's so important that we're there and our organization is there because we can see their need because God helps us and God opens the door and we can get in. So first of all, it's Christ-centered and we nurture them and then we can bring them back into a healthy relationship. And our children, even though it's an orphanage, it's really a foster care system. So their parents are still at home. Their parents still sort of want them. And so they know they have parents out there. And, you know, children, they don't understand all the way if a parent doesn't act the way they do. That's how they're raised. So that's what they think is supposed to happen. And so we have to heal them, and then we try to heal the family because our ultimate goal is to get them back into their family and to get that family restored. You know, and I shared that a little bit last time I was here. And so our second step or our third step or fourth step, whatever you want to call it, is to start our school. And so that we can, because that's, you know, when you go to school and you aren't loved at home, you don't care what 2 + 2 is. What is that? Why does that even matter to you? You want to go home and you want to be loved. And so we open that door because we'll have children who will come to us who didn't even go to school or who, like I said, didn't really receive the training they did. And so our school is going to be Christ-centered, and then after that we're going to focus on the education. And so we're going to start developing that this year. My director, Alyssa, has asked me to come back and be the director of the school. And well, there'll be a Russian and Latvian teacher under me, and they'll be in charge of the education. But I'm going to be I'm going to be swimming, I guess, with sharks or something. I don't know. I'm going to be doing again something like, because this year it was, God, I'm growing. But I just know that, you know, once you get past the level, you're like, yes, I'm here. And then you're like, wait, what's that level up there? I have to go up there too. And then you get there and there's another one and there's another one. So the Lord is helping me, and I know this next year is going to be something completely different. Because if you would have asked me 5 years ago, I would have said, I'm going to be a teacher all my life. That's what God's called me to do. That's where He's got me. I love the classroom. I love my kids. I'm just going to show the love of Christ, and I'm going to teach them. Well, God was like, I don't think so. So here He has me, and I feel like I'm in a different even. I mean, I'm still in the education field, but I feel like God's putting me somewhere else. And that's what's so great about that is He gets all the glory. I can't even say, yeah, I had education background and I could do this. It's like, no. I mean, God is doing everything. So that's that. And so our school's going to get started. And so it's going to be good. And the Lord's already progressing. So, yes, I'm going back. And I'll be there. I don't know how long, but I'll be there till God tells me to go somewhere else. So I'll be continuing my once-a-year visits, letting you know how it goes. But I do, I mean, I know Kathy, she prints off the newsletter, and she lets you guys know how I'm doing. And so thank you for praying for me and supporting me. I really, really appreciate it.
Hallelujah. We want you this morning, as we're going to ask you, maybe you've already done it, to just designate whatever you can, the portion that the Lord would have you to give, and divide it up. As I said, if you're going to cheat on either side, be on this side. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I don't know why I say that after the way you treated us last night. You know, Candy and I took her out for our always one-time trip visit and dinner and whatever you want, and she obliged us on that. She had a big, nice ribeye steak. But then, can you believe that at sunset we're watching the sun go down at Wiggins Pass, and she informed me. I wanted the steak back, that she was a Oklahoma Sooner, and that she was pulling against my Gators in the national championship. And Matt, if I could have got it back, I'd have got it back, but I... Was it too late at that point? Yeah, that's it. We're gonna bless her this morning, but I'm going to ask my beautiful wife to come and just bless us this morning. Hallelujah.
I wanted to share something with you. It's a love letter from heaven. It's a love letter from the Lord He gave me, but I know it's for you too. When we spend time in His presence, All we'll get is love letters from heaven. That's what you'll receive from me. When you listen, all you'll hear is love, love, love. And what you ever, and whatever I say, it will be because of my great love for you. You're so precious. Thank you for waiting for me today. You are my delight, my joy, and my glory. There are those that are like yourself who are coming into this great secret place with me, and I am finally able to speak, and you are hearing what I have to say. I'm about to release my glory like I've never been able to before, because some of you are listening and hearing and doing what I ask of them. I am bringing you nearer to me, and I am closer. I am closer to doing the mighty acts that you have been calling on me to do. So don't hold back. Keep going. There will always be more of me. I am an endless supply. The refreshings are always just that, refreshings. And I never get old. In me, all things are new to you. I'll keep drawing, and you keep coming. You keep being that loving testimony of me, my love and mercy, and all those that are around you. I am drawing them through the gentle countenance that you carry. My grace and my peace are evident, working in you all. You just keep serving those others as you do me, and my perfect plan for yourself is being made perfect in you. So go now and see who I bring across your path for you to love for me. You are my words, my gentle touch, and my presence. You are mine today, and I love you more than you can imagine. I want you to remember God is love. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Right. Would you stand with us this morning? Thank you, honey. Hallelujah. Would you bring this down and then find your way back to your seat and support me in prayer right now? I'd appreciate it. Pray for me. Father, I thank you for your grace and all that you've done already in this service. For the power of the Holy Spirit, we thank you for everyone that gave and everyone whose heart was to give. And we thank you, Father, for the blessings that only a father can bring as a result of a heart that's yielded to you in faith. It was not anything that we could possibly give you this morning. Not any amount of money could purchase the blessings that a father gives. Lord, we did not give this morning so that we could believe that you would somehow financially bless us in this year. We gave because we knew we were blessed. And we receive those financial blessings because you are our Father, and because we have a mouth to speak, and because we can speak your word. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We receive life out of your word this morning, and for the power of the Holy Spirit, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you didn't give this morning with the presupposition that if you gave, that your blessings this year was predicated on what you gave this morning? Isn't that freedom? And we take it for granted, people. And again, I don't want to rub off or watershed on other churches, but do you know how many sermons are being preached in the next few days about your first fruits offering for this new year? And if you want to be blessed in this new year, you better give a big offering if you want a big return. Or if you want to stay in poverty, don't give anything. My God, they don't know my Father. They may be born again, but they have not entered into that place that He's asked them to come into. And the other thing that they lack is the teaching that comes through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the solid Word of God. Hallelujah. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Some of you are wondering why the pulpit's over here, because a picture is worth 1,000 words, and we're going to have a few small props this morning. But I want you to turn. I've been in the Gospels for a long time in my meditation, and that probably comes out a lot. But I want you to turn to to Mark's gospel and also to Luke's gospel. Mark's gospel is Mark chapter 4, which is a sower soweth the word, of course. And Luke also has a rendition of that in chapter 8. I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to keep a thumb and an index finger in both of those places, somehow kind of pinch them together, where you can go back and forth at a rapid pace, because we want to compare notes between Mark and Luke this morning as we're reading this rendition of Jesus' ministry. You know, Jesus is amazing. He is God in the flesh. He is the one who created the rocks and the trees and the ground that He walked on. And you've got all these great orators that are speaking about all these great things, and men that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, like Paul, who gets so deep into the Word, and great writers. The book of Hebrews is a tremendous, deep writing. And yet Jesus spoke about rocks and trees and thorns and fish and birds and all those kinds of just real neat, simple things to hone in truths for us. But this morning we're going to talk about the Word of God. We're going to talk about the power of the Word of God. We're going to talk about who you are. And we're not going to try to identify you as far as an individual. We're not going to put anybody under that kind of pressure. The litmus test is this. You have to answer your own question. You have to answer your own question. I will say this. Whether you go to us, with us, to where that one day we are able to eyeball to eyeball the giant that is in our city. I identified one, the love of money. That's one that's moved in past tense. Probably the greatest one was dysfunctional homes. That devil he's been around here probably as long as Immokalee has ever existed. But he's bid and priced in some other ones, and he's called in the god of this world, which is of course, the love of money and the root of all evil. He's got some other ones now to kind of back him up. But I promise, if you'll stay with us and pray and do what we're going to talk about this morning, you'll be here to the, not bitter end, but to the sweet end. Hallelujah. I will say this. Anybody and everybody, and this is no indictment. In fact, we've got some words from the Holy Spirit recently about them all coming back. And we've been getting those words for a long time. But anybody and everybody that ever went out of here and is gone presently for any duration of time, the reason why they're gone is for one simple purpose. The Word of God was not able to stay in them and maturate or come to maturity to where that when things came, whatever took them out, it wasn't what took them out. What took them out? What took them out is not what took them out. It was one thing. Well, they didn't love God. No, that's not the answer. They didn't have a good experience with God. No, that's not the answer. Many of them cried, boo-hooed, and fell out in the Spirit as many times as you've fallen out in the Spirit. The one thing that will keep you to the sweet end is how much Word you have in your spirit. Glory be to God. How much Word do you have in your spirit? Satan's been fighting me lately. He's not been fighting you for your emotions. That won't move mountains. It won't change a city. Well, I love God and I'm real tender towards Him. I've fallen out in the Spirit and I've done this and that and the other. You know what He hates? He hates what moves mountains, what gets little kids out of wheelchairs, what changes cities from dysfunctional homes into God-fearing, loving fathers who go back and say, I'm sorry, I'll raise another. I'm going to teach my grandchildren how to be loving fathers. Hallelujah. And good. What He hates is what produces that, and that is none other than the precious, powerful Word of God. Hallelujah. That's why He's done so much to take the Holy Spirit out of the church, who is the director and the teacher of the Word of God. Now, we're going to read some things here. We're going to read some familiar passages, possibly to you. I hope they're familiar. I hope you say, boy, I've read that a lot. If you don't have a Bible, and I'm not looking at you, He's already taken part of it away from you this morning. You need to be looking at it. I might say something wrong here, and you need to know if I'm going to tell you the truth or not. Hallelujah. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. And as I said, we're going to cross-reference because I want you to see some things here. Verse 1 of chapter 4 in Mark. I'm going to go from Mark to Luke, back and forth. Mark has a longer rendition, much more detailed teaching of this particular parable that Jesus teaches. In verse 1 of chapter 4 of Mark, "And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables," and we're going to hear one of those parables, "by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." So his doctrine was infused in the parable. "Hearken," that means listen. I mean, really tune your ears in. "Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it." Now, as I said before, the litmus test is this: where you're at, where I'm at. Obviously, I will stop and say this, and you pray for me as I go along here. We don't want to rabbit trail too much, but we do want to teach. Obviously, the word that has been taught to many of you, unless you're just a newcomer or like my friend that's just been born again, you've received word in your life that has already, it's already been tested because you're here. It's solid ground, or it's your ground. Because all word goes through the same process. Every revelation that you'll receive goes through the same process. But whether you're walking in the fullness of that revelation also is affected by what we're going to find out here, by what ground you are, or what ground you're allowing. Now, Jesus said here, the first thing that happens when the Word of God is taught, preached, or received. He said here, "It came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell upon stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, 60, and he says 100-fold, or 100. And he said unto them, He that has ears to hear, let them hear. And I say unto you, he that has ears to hear, let them hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13, And he said unto them, Know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Now we're going to turn over to Luke. Hold that place in Mark. Remember the last thing that we said here in Mark was this. Jesus said, if you don't know this, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, if you don't know this parable or the doctrine of this parable, how will you know all parables? In other words, the doctrine that is in this parable that he's teaching now is paramount. It is the catalyst, or it's the seedbed by which all other parables or doctrines come to maturity. In other words, if you can understand that it is by the Word of God and how the Word of God works in you as a Christian, then that opens up your understanding to everything else. If you miss this, then you try to run down the alphabet with other doctrine, and you're trying to interpret other doctrine, and if you don't understand how the Word of God works in your life, then you're trying to get 12th grade science and have missed second and third grade, and there are certain things in there that it's just not going to make sense to you. It's just not going to come to full maturity for you. So it's so important that you understand this particular parable and its doctrine. Now in Luke, same thing. It says in verse 4 of chapter 8, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it, and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And again, the disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? Now, continue to hold your place. Back over to Mark. Some of you pay close attention, because I might have to ask you where I'm at. You can tell me which verse I'm at. Hallelujah. They ask him the same question in both Mark and Luke. What did these things mean? And again in Luke, he said, it's given to you, in verse 11, to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But we were down at 13 when he said, Know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? And he says this emphatically. What I'm talking about is the sower sowing the word of God. And these are by the wayside when the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, hold that, but go back to Luke. Because he's going to explain this. They're asking him, what did you mean by all this? And he's going to explain it emphatically. And his disciples ask him in verse 9, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Verse 11, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and what? Be saved. So the first group never even gets saved, do they? He says, when the word is sown, immediately the devil comes to take the faith of that word away from them, lest they be saved. Lest they be saved. So here's the man that's hearing the word of reconciliation. God's trying to touch his heart. And he says, Satan comes immediately. The first thing you've got to understand is this, or one of the first things is this. The process that begins is the same process that follows through all different levels of ground. And no matter where you're at, you have to understand that if you've graduated to the end, you had to graduate through a process that stopped the first person. In other words, the Bible says that the enemy comes immediately to steal the word, lest they be saved. You know many people who have heard the word and walked right out of the service and said, That's not for me today. But when Jesus describes this, when he describes this with his teaching, and he says immediately Satan comes and takes that word out of their heart, lest they be saved, it almost sounds like that Satan, just by the reason of the fact that he came, had the power to take it from them and keep them from being saved. But we know that's not true. We know that's not true. Why? Because I'm saved. You're saved. If Satan had the God-given right to step in front of the Word of God and to stop it and to keep you from believing it just because he wanted to, nobody would be saved. Because he would not allow you to be saved. Jesus is not saying just because of his coming, he can come and keep people from being saved. But what he is teaching us is something that will follow the gamut all the way through this. It is by right of choice how far you allow the Word of God to go in your life. The man who receives it at the point of salvation has, here's the miracle. Even before you knew Christ, the grace of God came to you as a sinner and surrounded you and said, "Will you accept me?" You didn't have the faith of Christ inside of you, but the grace of God was there. You had, here is the most, the greatest mystery of all mysteries. If you want to search out mysteries of mysteries, search this one out. The human will. Your free right of choice. It decided for you when the gospel was preached and it was handed over to you. Jesus said He came immediately. Do you know this same process? Some said, "Well, He just came and He stole that out of my loved one's heart." He was there to steal it out of all of your hearts. But you chose, rather than going that way, you said, "I'll choose Jesus Christ. I will choose Him." Here's the amazing part. That same right of choice goes into the next level as well. What Satan could or could not do at the first level is all indicative of what he can or cannot do at the second level. How the Word of God from that point on will begin to work in your life. Listen, a lot of people say, "My God, Satan has just been, he has just been working on me this year and working on me, and he's just been fighting me and fighting me and fighting me." And they almost sound like, just by the reason of his coming, he had the right to do what he's done. My question is this, based on what we're going to read, why is what he's doing having so much effect on your life? Because if he could not, if just his coming could have stopped anybody from being born again, none of us would be saved. And if he's so fighting you just because he chooses to, then wouldn't it make sense that the people that he should be fighting the worst, like the Benny Hinns and people that are getting millions born again, wouldn't it seem like he should be fighting them the hardest, and yet he seems to have less effect on them? Oh, come on. There's a reason why what he does has little, less, or more effect on people's lives. And we find that out. Hallelujah. Isn't the Word of God good? I don't want to be me. I don't want to be me. I might write a song about that. I don't want to be me at the end of 2009. I got to the 2008, and I didn't look back and say, "God, this, I felt good. I really felt good. But with all of everything inside of me, there's something inside of me that says, my God, there's so much more to be had. I have not even scratched the surface." And if you're like this, I got to tell you this, and I hate this. I hope this doesn't offend you. If you're like this, oh, I hope God catches up with me this year somewhere. I just don't really feel like moving in too fast. I can tell you this. God is not going to chase any of you. He's not chasing any of you. He loves you. He's got a passion for you. There's never been a man loved a woman in a pure way like God loves you. I mean, He's like, "I love you. I mean, I've got a... I'm like a hound dog on a deer trail. I love you. I love you. I want you. I want you. I want you." But He's done everything He can possibly do to come after you. And if you're like, "Oh, I wish somebody could stir me up and give kind of, you know, get me going," and it ain't going to happen. At 2009, you'll be going, "Oh, what's going on? You guys having a revival or what's going on? I want to be in this." The first step was He didn't have the power to keep you from being born again. He doesn't have the power to keep you from going to the next level. "Pastor, isn't that what we pay you for, to kind of get us going?" I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to try to do it. I am going to preach the Word. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He said this. Where were we at in Mark 4? Help me. 16. Oh, thank you. Satan cometh immediately in 15. Take the word that was sown in their hearts. And then we go to the next group. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with what? These people are born again. They received it. And they like it. They like it. They love it. What does Luke have to say about that? Where were we at in Luke? We were in 12. 13 now. They that are on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, in a time of temptation, fall away. Mark says, they receive it immediately, they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and they endure for a time, and afterwards, when affliction, a persecution arises, for the what sake? Immediately they are offended. Listen, what I want you to understand is everybody from the moment of conception, not the ones that chose not to, but once you're in Christ, there are no rogue born-again spirits. There are no almost born-again. If you're born again, you got the purity of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your spirit became, it wasn't like, well, some people are born again, Pastor, and some are just kind of born again. No. If you're born again, if you've got the DNA of the Father in you, you are born again. It can't be tainted. It can't be. Now, their outside earthen vessel, the way they talk and look and act, sometimes you may say, man. But the purity of the Spirit, if it is born again, if they've received it with gladness, it is as pure as your spirit is, as far as righteousness goes, when you're doing everything right and they're doing everything wrong, if they're born again. But here's what separates. Again, the Word of God. The Word of God in them. Everybody takes this same course. So what are you saying? In this sense of the word, everybody is good ground. Everybody is good ground. It's only the distinguishing factor is how much of the word is kept out of your life. Out of your life based upon these things that Jesus identified. He said, affliction and persecution came. Why? Because the word was sown. I should have done this earlier. Hallelujah. Golly, this feels like a bowling ball. I really should have got Pablo or Fred up here because they're a lot stronger than me. What is this? For the sake of the people that are not here, this is a rock. A stone. This is out of Candy's rock garden. Okay, there's one. Okay, we'll just throw that one out. There's another one. We got some other goodies in there we'll use later. Now let's look at this. I want you to look at it. This person's born again. We've gotten past the point of choice. They've chosen Christ. See, because a lot of times we think this. We see somebody excelling in Christ. And we think, yeah, that's the pastor. Or that's elder so-and-so. Or that's intercessor so-and-so. They didn't get that way because God liked the back of their head more than He liked yours. They got it through one process. Everybody's good ground if you're born again. But everybody's bad ground if you do not allow the Word its full concourse in your life. What kind of allowance are you talking about? Well, let me clarify it by reading it because I can't do it justice any other way. Again, verse 16 and Mark says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with what? They don't have a root. It's a shallow root. And because of that, they endure just for a time. And afterwards, affliction, persecution, the word's sake, they are offended. Offended, yes. Well, you can misconstrue that. They're offended, yes, maybe at the pastor, or maybe at God. But offense here means that they were taken out. They were born again, but now they're on the sidelines. Now they're, I wish somebody would motivate me because I just ain't God. I need some Geritol, man. What took them out? Persecution and affliction. Well, do you mean that everybody that didn't get taken out by persecution and affliction didn't have to go through persecution and affliction? Does that mean that Satan can he'll only distinguish, I'm going after them, but I'm leaving them alone. Me and God's got something on the side. God said, don't touch them, but you can go after them with persecution and affliction. Persecution and affliction is sickness. It's depression. It's disease. It's all those kinds of things like people are fighting for right now, which is survival and people saying ugly things about you and family members that you're having to love instead of hate. Can you imagine these stones covering the ground so thick? Now, I've only got a couple up here. Covering the ground so thick that there were only sparse places. Everything else that the seed that was being sown was sown on stony ground. So that when the seed fell, it hit something like this. And the reason why affliction and persecution had its effect, because all the body, the Word says that we should take this joy knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the rest of the body. If you think anybody's getting a free ride, that's part of your deception. Everybody has to go through the same way He's going to come. The reason why that some of these things are the reason why afflictions and persecution has more effect on one Christian than it does another, is because the root of that word and the maturity of that word and the revelation of that word. And folks, haven't we discovered through that word a helper that comes and will pray for you hour after hour after hour? When you do not choose to pray in tongues, and when you do not choose by a volition, oh, Pastor, though, I need somebody to jumpstart me. The only jumpstart you need is to open it up cold turkey, hating everybody, feeling no presence of God, and saying, God's Word says, if I will believe it and follow after it, it will clear away these stones out of my life. Somehow, what is having an effect? See, I don't want... The reason why I have not raised dead people this year is not because I don't love God. Well, He's not sinning a lot. He's been good to me. But I don't know what. I don't know what's been tripping me up. I think I'm a good boy. I think I'm the best father, the best pastor, the best this. But, you know, there'll be seasons where this ground is not producing like it's supposed to. And when ugly things come, just for a little while, they may get my attention. You know what these things are? The Word describes them. The Word describes them as diversions. Diversions. It says, casting all of your diversions on Him, for He cares for us. Hallelujah to God. Are you still with me? Because we got to get somewhere here. It says this. Oh, let's get back over to Luke so we don't miss anything he's saying there. Verse 13 says, on the rock, he says, and on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy and have no root, which for a while believe, in a time of temptation they fall away. And some fell among thorns, and they are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. Now, what does Mark say about that? What does he say? Back over to Mark. He says, the 17 was the ones on the stony ground. 18 says, and these are they which are sown among thorns. Now, I don't have that prop. Sorry, folks. Such as hear the word, the cares of this world, and what? The deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of what? The lust of other things do what? Entering in, they choke the word, and it what? See, it says it chokes it. It was trying to grow up. People will say, this took me out, or he's come and he's done this. Folks, every football team would be the greatest team in the world if it only had an offense. If it only had to run up and down the field with the guys it wanted to hand the ball off to, throw the ball. Every baseball team would win every game if they did not have something staring it in the face. I'm not asking any of you to make New Year's resolutions. I'm asking you to consider one thing. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's how much you understand that this word, even though it will be and it has to be tested, and there's not one among us that the same process... Listen, if you say that God has skipped somebody else, the reason why you think they're doing better and going forward faster is because they went through the process and they chose at some point not to let the Word of God be taken out of their life. It was growing up and thorns started going this way. Cares. Deceitfulness of riches. Lust of other things. Distractions. Listen, we're all at a point right now where we're having to believe God for our finances and giving. But it's your faithfulness in here that He's looking for. It's your faithfulness in here that He's looking for. Because it's in here that you make those decisions that will carry on way past when the economy changes. Because if you don't make those decisions now, and if the thorn seed's not taken out of you, somebody said, my God, if I had $1 million, Bronk, I'd give it to the church. Let me ask you, when you were doing really, really good, I mean when you were doing really good, were you handing it over, when you were banking a lot of it, were you really giving it a lot of it to the church? You don't have to tell me that. Because if something hadn't changed in you, just because we're going through a poverty time doesn't mean your heart's changed. Because what will happen is once we go back to full-blown blessing, you'll be the same way you were before. Man, I get to preach to y'all and y'all still love me. Isn't that what I mean? But here's what I like. Not the problem. I want to get rid of these stones. Because they're keeping... Everybody's good ground. Everybody's good ground. But it's how much these I've got that's inhibiting the Word coming up inside of me that's holding us back and holding you back from the victories in your life. If there were thorns, I had thorns up here. Jesus wasn't condemning these people. He said they received it with gladness. They were happy about it. I mean... Oh, glory to God, that was the best sermon I've ever heard. It was so good. But thorns grew up. Listen, that's why I say anybody can run up and down the field with one offense. In this year, I hate to tell y'all this. Let me say it like this first. This will be the best year of your life if you choose to have it as the best year. But along with it, there will be afflictions. God, I wish you hadn't said that. There will be persecutions. There will be times for you to puff your lip up and get offended at somebody next to you. How long does that have to last? Do I have to go through it like I used to go through it, like for weeks? God, that's up to you. If you want it to be just a passing thought, I mean, if you just want it to just like come and, ooh, don't you touch me with that junk. No. I done been through there before. That hurts your body. You get all tied up inside. You can't eat your food real good and you're mad at everybody. But then if that thing comes and you look at it and you, well, they did say that, didn't they? Do they know who I am? I'm a pastor of this church. Do they know what I've... Oh, come here. I love you. That thing will start wrapping itself around your head. You'll wear it to church. How you doing? I love you. I love you. It'll start wrapping itself all around you like a scarf. You can just wear it. You kiss it every once in a while. They shouldn't have treated me that way. It's all going to happen to all of us. But it can be this, or it can be the pulling in of the other. But the people that have left, it's not because they did not feel the Holy Ghost. It's because the Word of God was taken out of their life, or they never went to where they sowed that Word so deep that when He came through it, they came to it. There's been a lot of times that my love to you was not because I felt like it, but because something in that Word told me that if I would hang on, I could get past the affliction, the persecution, the test, the trial. I'd get to a brighter and a better day. Hallelujah. And we are going there, people. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now He said this, and I love this part. He said, and these are they in Mark 4:20. He says, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60 and 100. And He asked this question. He asked the same question in Luke. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to set on a candlestick? And He goes on to say this concerning that candle. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. Neither was anything kept secret except that it should come abroad. If any man here has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, there's nothing kept secret. What's He talking about? Word. That's what we've been talking about. He's still talking about the Word. He's talking about there's nothing kept secret except that it comes abroad. And over here in Luke, what does He say there? He says, these are good ground, honest and a good heart. Having heard the Word, they keep it, bring forth fruit with what? Patience. 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 Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. No man that lighteth a candle. You know what the candle is, don't you? Your born-again experience. That's that candle that lights. That's the light that came on the inside of you. But coupled with that candle is the Word of God. And here comes the Word of God. He says, when that candle's lit, you don't cover it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but you set it on a candlestick that they which entering in may see the light. Hallelujah. And He says, because of it, there is nothing is secret that shall not be manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Hallelujah. So He's talking about the Word. He says, you got this candle. You got the Holy Spirit. And the more of that Word that you put in you, the more the Holy Spirit has the capacity. And here's the two-edged sword. The trueness, the exact trueness of what He's saying in context of there's nothing hid that shall not be revealed is once you've got the born-again experience, your candle has been lit. After that, there's nothing in this Word, nothing that will be hid to you that will not illuminate your life so that you go on to be that last group who produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. Otherwise, what I'm doing is all my life, I'm going to some church. They don't teach me about the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not praying in tongues, and I'm not digging into that Word. And next year, I'll be the same way that I was this year. and the year after. Why? Because I keep going along and I'm stumbling. And I'm looking back and I'm saying, look what she did. Look what he did. Look what the economy did. And I'm offended. But when I have that word in my heart, there's nothing hid. God, what is it that keeps me the same year after year? God, what is it that keeps me the same year? Look down, my son. What? Pull up some of that stuff. Oh, Christe Badobodo. That's right. I know you think you're the greatest. Help that boy. I know that you think your world, you know, you think everybody else has got a raw dog deal. And you mean this? Yes. Because the more you keep praying, there's nothing hid that shall not be revealed. Whatever's holding this church back from going to the next level, if we keep getting into that word, keep teaching that word, keep praying that word through the mysteries of the Holy Spirit, what we do is we farm our ground. Oh, this ain't going to stay. Uh-uh. I'm growing crops here. I don't know. For years, I've been blaming Grandma. The way Grandma treated me. That's what I thought. No. I'm clearing my ground. Glory to God. I'm clearing. I'm getting all this stone out of here because we're going to have a nice, big, hundredfold revival. Because what I thought for years was holding me back, there's nothing hid. My mind hid it from me. I thought, let me tell you what my problem is. And now the Word of God comes up and says, no, baby, sweetheart, there's nothing hid that shall not be revealed. You're a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can clear your ground. You can get all the thorn seed out of it. Oh, and by the way, I hadn't read that part. What Jesus say? Let me read this little part here. He said, take heed. Oh, no, can't miss this. There's nothing hid that shall not be revealed, not manifest. This is Mark 4. But he said that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he says, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto him that hear, more shall be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Now, what does Luke say about that? Luke's got to say something about that. He says, take heed, verse 18. Therefore, how you hear. Take heed how you hear. The sower sows the word. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Listen. Got one more in there. Hold on, I'll be back. I used to be of this. Somebody'd say, now let me clarify this. Because it's got to be clarified. It's got to be prefaced. If you got somebody that's red hot in Christ, I mean, they're coming to you, man, tell me what to do. Man, I want God, and I want more God, and I want Him now. I want to go on in revival. Then if they're that kind of buddy, that kind of relative, that kind of friend, then you can speak real candid with candor in their life. If they're an acquaintance of yours and they're going to another church and they're not really seeking, then just all you can do is pray for them. If they're going to a church that doesn't teach the word, but listen, you look at it and you meditate it, it's basically saying this: there's a cross-pollination process. If you hear the truth will increase in your life. It will increase 30, 60, 100. It will go on to maturation. But he said, take heed to what you're listening to, because if you're listening to something, it also has a cross-pollination process that can cancer your life if you sit under it long enough. Even that which you seem to have can eventually be taken out of your life. What do you say to people now that are seeking? They say, well, Pastor, they've gone to that church for a long time. They don't live close enough to come here. I say, with all love and due respect, get out. And get out quickly. if they do not teach praying in tongues on a consistent basis and the power of the Holy Spirit and the meditation of God's Word. Well, let's give them this. Let's be fair to them. Let's be fair enough to go to that pastor. I'd say this. Be fair enough to go to him and buy him dinner, buy him breakfast. And don't put him on a, you know, respect him. But ask him, what do you think about praying in tongues? And raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out devils. Well, hear a story. And then say, can I give you a book? Would you read this book by Pastor Dave Roberson? Would you read that? And give him, don't give him a year. Say, can we get back in 2 weeks? Can I buy you dinner? Because if you give him an infinite amount of time, they'll just, if they're not hungry and they don't devour it, be nice enough to give them, especially if you're a Sunday school teacher, give them a 2 week notice. But leave. Leave. Be gone. Well, what if this church is not in their city? There's internet service. You would be, based on what I just read you, you would be better off sitting at home watching or listening to Gary Carpenter or LaRue Atkinson or Gary Flint or somebody rather than sit in a church that week after week would not teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues and raising the dead. He said, take heed to what you hear. Glory be to God. Now, we're about to close. He said in Mark, verse 26, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Hallelujah. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Folks, that's where we're headed in Jesus' name. Verse 30, whereunto shall we liken this, the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like the grain of a mustard seed, which is sown in the earth, is less than all the seed that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it groweth up and becometh a greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowl of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Hallelujah. Candy got something for Christmas. She got a spice rack. I don't know what that is. I don't know if you can see my left index finger, but there is, I'll try to get to the center. There is revival. That's a mustard seed. And Jesus said, now I don't know if that's exact mustard seed like he was speaking of, but it says mustard seed on her spice rack. That little thing right there, he said, as a grain, how many of you can see it? I'm glad you can't see it. That's how small it is. But basically he was saying what I said this morning, but I can't improve on what he was saying. Little guys can grow up. He wasn't saying, oh, I've heard people say, oh, if you just have little faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can... That's not what... I've got that much. My God. I've got that much. Come on. He was saying that the man that will place that in the ground, this little guy has an image in him. And if you'll put that image in there and keep it in there, and when the thorns grow up, and the stones that need to be cleaned around it, if you'll clean it off and give that little guy all everything he needs to grow up, one day, what you cannot see, most of you with your visible eye in this plastic baggie in front of you, grows up into something. He said it's the smallest of all herbs. And yet, the seed is the smallest of all herbs, yet it grows up into something that all of the fowl of the air can come and nest in. It's a perfect picture of this. The ground that matures is the ground that keeps the Word of God in there, past offenses, and keeps praying and saying, God, there's nothing hid. I want to go to the next level. Listen, every single one of you, I believe this with all my heart, every single one of you in here, every single one of you are destined for greatness. The moment that you got born again, you may have had a lot of thorns and stuff by your own choice. Some of you are writers. Some of you need to be, you've got books inside of you. Some of you got songs inside of you. If you come, if these things are birthed in you the days ahead, listen, as our website improves and matures and gets more of the bells and whistles and things that people look at and the world looks at, the things that the Holy Spirit puts inside of you, the visions and the dreams, these will be things that will touch the world. We'll put that on there. Some of you have got prophecies and dreams on the inside of you. You've got a greatness on the inside of you. Well, I don't know. I'm just this. What if your kids said, I want to go see great grandma? And you said, well, we'll go, honey, but she's not your great grandma. She's your grandma. No, grandma's great. When I get to grandma's house, grandma's got the Word of God coming out of her mouth. She speaks life. How many of you would feel good about your old age if you sat in the back of the church and saw all the heads of the people in the last 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years that you brought into the kingdom of God, not just your family members, and you sat over on a worship service and was worshiping God? And some people say, well, I don't have a public ministry. This chair this morning is your public ministry. Somebody needs to be sitting here. You can go out and fulfill it. You can pray your neighbor in. You can get your neighbor saved. And the only difference between whether or not you'll be good ground in this year and excel and come to greatness is what you do with it. It's what you and I do with what's going to be handed to us. I don't know what He's coming with exactly. The Holy Spirit will show me at times, and He'll always keep me in front of the enemy and you too. But listen, it's how we deal with it. And I believe we're all going forward, don't you? Amen. As you choose. Hallelujah. But if you don't go forward, it'll be your choosing. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. We'll have a Wednesday night service. It'll start at 9. And it's going to be a very powerful service. I expect the Holy Spirit to come and maybe some prophecy. We'll have communion. And also the Lord has shown me something that something we need to do that we've never, ever done in any of our services before. I've seen it take place in Tulsa a few times. And it's a certain way that the Holy Spirit will speak to you as an individual and begin to lay out things in front of you. And we're going to participate in that Wednesday night as well. But we'll start at 9 o'clock. We'll have refreshments. I haven't even spoke with any of the ladies about that, but just simple desserts or whatever. But it'll be a watch night service, and we'll have communion sometime around midnight and go into the next year in Christ together as a family. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Melody, you'll be back. And so you can bring in those big, huge, you know, bags full of cash. Bags full of cash. Hallelujah. Glory. Melody, I've got a bag full of stuff here I can give you this morning, but I don't know. Man. Ungratefulness. Tadre. Is that Tadre back there? That's what I'm talking about. That's the man that went to the University of Florida for. That's what I'm talking about, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Amen. All right, Father, we just bless you. And we give you glory. And we thank you for all of your glory that you've passed over to us. And the Word of God in us, the life and the strength, who you are to us, in us, and through us. Father, we bless this body and this congregation of believers. We ask you to keep them, lead them, guide them, and bring them back here Wednesday night as we go into this new year together. And all things are possible. First of all, Father, we want to thank You that Toby was born again this morning. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank You that he was born again right at the eve of this new year. And Lord, let him be. Let him be a token of many more hundreds that will be born again in this year, Lord, through this ministry. Hallelujah. We love You, Jesus. And we praise You. And we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you're being dismissed.